What a privilege to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in the Epiphany time of the church year, the show and tell time of the church year. Epiphany means to show forth or to manifest or to help people to see. And so I'd like for you to think back to your maybe kindergarten days or first grade years when you had show and tell at school. Show and tell was always so much fun. There was something special that you brought, and you got a chance to show it and tell people about something that you were very, very excited about. We Christians have the privilege of doing show and tell with our Lord and Savior Jesus and sharing Jesus with them as well. Our scripture reading for this weekend, this second Sunday in Epiphany, is one of those show and tell. Three times, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I hope after the sermon you will. Three times there's show and tell going on as John helps to show and tell to his two disciples. It's interesting that the scripture reading begins the next day. Whenever you read that, I hope that you say, the next day after what? So nice to have Caitlin's baptism tonight, because last Sunday was the remembrance of Jesus' baptism. And the next day, as our gospel reading begins tonight, means the next day after Jesus' baptism. John had been there and he had baptized Jesus. And it's the next day that John sees Jesus again, and he points to Jesus again and says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John's disciples would have heard that. John's disciples very possibly would have been there that first day when Jesus was baptized and actually witnessed Jesus' baptism, but for sure that they were there the second day when John says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then as we read in our scripture reading for tonight, there's a next day again. 3 days in a row, John points his disciples to, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I think that's significant. I think that's very important that God's word indicates to us that it happened three times. How many times does it take for us to share that with others? How many times does it take for us to help others to know about Jesus or maybe to invite them? There's a ridiculous story, but it makes a point. There was a person who came into the repair shop grumbling and complaining. "I called 3 days ago to have you come over and fix my doorbell, and you told me that you'd send somebody over right away and they'd get it fixed. It's 2 days now and I haven't had my doorbell fixed. What happened?" Well, the business manager said, "I'm sure we sent somebody over there." So he calls in the back and he says, "Hey, Dan, didn't you go over to 120 Vine Street and fix that doorbell?" And Dan comes up front and he says, "Yes, sir, I sure did. I went over there and I rang the doorbell for 10 minutes, but nobody answered, so I went back and left." Pretty ridiculous, isn't it? But I share that story with you because sometimes as we share Jesus with others, we try one time. "You know, I sent them an email, but they never responded to it. I left a message on their answering machine, but, you know, they never called me back. I wrote them a letter, but I don't know if they got that or not." So often it takes more than just one time, and so often it takes more than just ringing a doorbell. He could have knocked on the door, he could have called, he could have done all kinds of things, but isn't it interesting that the scriptures will indicate to us and will share with us time after time after time that we speak that message and we share that message with others. John knew that. And John excitedly pointed to Jesus as the Son, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's disciples heard that maybe by the third time, maybe by the second time, but people who don't know Jesus Christ, you know, are blind and dead and enemies of God. And they need to hear it numerous times before maybe they'll hear that message and respond. John had an urgency and he had an excitement as he shared that with his disciples. Do we have that urgency and excitement as well? When our favorite football team, basketball team, hockey team, whatever sports it might be, when they're winning, we're pretty excited and we share that with other people. When a young lady gets a brand new diamond ring, man, is she excited and she loves to share that with people. The same thing when grandmas or grandpas or moms and dads have that new birth of a baby. Man, are we excited and we share that with people and we're very excited about sharing that. Would it make a difference if people saw us excited about Jesus? Would it make a difference if people would see that Jesus is the most important thing in our lives and as we share that message in an excited way and in an enthusiastic way? John did just that. And John spoke to his disciples and he pointed them out, pointed to Jesus, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." He didn't say, "Look, the one who will make you feel good." He didn't say, "Look, this is the one who will make you rich and famous." He didn't say, "Look, this is the one who will take away all your aches and pains." He didn't preach a prosperity gospel. He didn't say, "This Lamb of God is going to come and make your life easier." But what did he say? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a message. What a message that was. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came not to make this life better, but to make all of life better. He came to take away the punishment for our sins, to give us forgiveness of sins, to give us life, real life. This weekend is also Sanctity of Life weekend. It's the weekend when we remember that precious gift of physical life that God gave to us, as well as the gift of eternal life. That gift of physical life that is so precious and that the world does not see as very important. This life is tough. There's things that happen in this life that make this life rough to live and have some very tough kinds of decisions. Yeah, there's unwanted pregnancies, there's terminal diseases, there's chronic pain, there's suffering and disease and tough decisions that have to be made. That's what happens in this life. Those are just life issues that we have. But the answer is not what some people say. The answer is not death being the solution to these difficulties. There are those who in this life say, that's the answer. Unwanted pregnancy? Just get an abortion. Suffering and pain? Well, we'll just euthanize you. Or we'll shorten your life in some way. That is not the answer that God would have for his people. He gives the precious gift of life. He wants to give us life and life here and life, eternal life. Death is not the solution. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the solution. That's the answer to all of life's problems, to looking to Jesus Christ, whom John points his disciples to whom Scripture always points us to as well. Esther Parsons. Esther Parsons is a woman who lived a number of years ago. She had emphysema. It got so bad that she had to go to the intensive care unit of the hospital. And each day, her breathing got a little harder and a little harder and a little harder. She was a widow, didn't have any family, but the congregation continued to pray for her, and her pastor came up faithfully to visit her. They all thought that it wouldn't be too long and God would take Esther to heaven. But Esther continued on day after day after week into months. And one time the pastor came and was visiting Esther. And Esther said, "Pastor, I don't understand. Why is it that God doesn't let me just die and take me to my eternal home in heaven? Tell me, Pastor, tell me why." And the pastor very honestly said, "Esther, I don't know." What I do know is that Jesus Christ loves you and cares for you. What I do know is that Jesus Christ suffered and died for you, and that he has a home in heaven prepared for you. Esther, I know that Jesus, in the proper time, will take you to your eternal home in heaven. Well, by God's grace, it was a few days later that finally Esther was taken home to eternal home in heaven. And then it was about 3 weeks after that that same pastor was up in that same intensive care unit. He was visiting another member of his congregation. And as he came out after visiting, one of the little nurse's assistants came up and said, priest, are you the priest that was Esther's priest? He said, well, yes, I am. He was a Lutheran pastor, but that's all right. They understand it differently. Yes, I am. Why? Why? What can I do for you? And this little nurse's aide said, well, sir, I just need to tell you, I'm a Christian today because of Esther. I never talked to Esther and never had a chance to talk to her, but I was watching her. And I heard those devotions and prayers that you had with her, and I saw her faith and I saw the strength that she had, and because of that, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Esther never knew that God was working in her life and through her life to bring this other young nurse to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. We don't know either. We don't know either through the difficult times and the sufferings and the trials in our lives who it is that Jesus is working through. You probably also know stories of people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ because of suffering or because of different things that have happened in different people's lives. We live by faith and not by sight. By that faith that Jesus Christ gives to us, we know and trust that God works his purposes in our lives. John the Baptizer, pointing to Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God! Behold, the Lamb of God! It was that next day, that the third day, when John had said that to those two disciples. And the two disciples started following Jesus. And as they were following Jesus, Jesus turned around and said, what is it that you want? And they said, where are you staying? And Jesus gave the simple invitation, well, come and see. They came and they spent time with Jesus. That is so precious. They came and spent time with Jesus. And that faith relationship with Jesus grew. And we knew that it grew. It grew well because Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, Andrew, one of those two disciples, it said the first thing he did was to go and talk to his brother Simon. We have found the Messiah! What an excitement that he had! And he brought him to Jesus. Peter. We know all about Peter. It was his brother Andrew who gave him that simple message, we have found the Messiah, and then he brought him to Jesus. Who's the Peter in your life? Who's the one that God's going to work through you to bring to come to know Jesus Christ, and then Jesus will work through that person to be another Peter? How exciting that is. How exciting to think that with a simple invitation, God works. Maybe that invitation has to be given more than once. There's a lot of broken doorbells out there. Sometimes that invitation needs to be made over and over with enthusiasm and with consistency. We do come and invite people to come to know him. What a blessing it is that God works in such simple ways to do such marvelous things of bringing people into his kingdom. Simply, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, pointing people to Jesus. Look, the baptism that Caitlin had tonight and the blessings that come through holy baptism. Also, that invitation, as people are asking about it, come with me. Come with me to worship services. Come with me to Bible class. Come with me for my devotional time. Come with me and we'll visit about this Lord and Savior Jesus. Come and see. And finally, that wonderful invitation, that assurance, that confession that we say, We know our Lord and Savior Jesus. We have found the Messiah, and he's here for you as well. What a blessing. What a blessing for those not yet in the kingdom of God to have us to show and tell Jesus, not just in the Epiphany season, although that's the encouragement for us, but each and every day to show and tell Jesus, to excitedly and consistently and continually remind and invite and have others to know Jesus. May Jesus work in you and in me as we continue to bring family and friends who don't know Jesus Christ yet to come and know him and to grow in faith in him as well. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.